Now, this morning, I really want to encourage you because faith is such a vital, important thing. You know, I read you a quotation to you, what Spurgeon, the great preacher of the last century, says about faith. This is what he says. The devil will not trouble himself so much about your other graces. He will probably attack them when he can. But first of all, he says, down with faith. You see, the devil knows if he weakens your faith, then he weakens the very base and foundation of your belief in Jesus. Let's just read Mark 5. Mark 5 from verse 25. An amazing story. Absolutely amazing. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of the blood of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Father, we thank you for this powerful story, and we thank you for that woman. We pray, literally give us a faith injection this very morning for our situations we are in, that you would just ignite that faith by the word of God and through your Holy Spirit in every single life here in this hall. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe. And that is so important. You see, God requires faith. But we want to start at the very beginning. As I mentioned to you before, I was a banker. And I ask you now, as a banker, who of you has got a bank account? Hands up. Yeah, nearly all. You've got a bank account. Now, do you know that your bank could go bankrupt anytime and you would lose your money? Do you know that the bank is not really interested in you, neither in your money as such? They are only interested in themselves to make more money themselves. They're not interested about your money to that you get more interest and all that. No, they're not interested in that. And yet, you have a bank account. How can you have a bank account? Another question. Who of you likes to go to the dentist? No. Usually it's always one, you know. You're all sensible, really. Well, who has ever been with the dentist? Hands up. Quite a few people. Most of us have once been with the dentist. Why? You don't like to go to the dentist, and yet you went. Why did you go? When I was with the dentist, he made such an impression on me. I will never forget him. I will remember him in heaven. I was lying there and he said, "Open your mouth." That was my very first mistake. And he was going to remove the wisdom tooth. That was many years ago. And he took out his tools and I thought, I feel like I'm in the pictures here. It was dreadful. It was so, and then I couldn't feel half of my tongue. I couldn't feel anymore for a long time, for days. And I thought, doesn't come back. You know, it was bad. You see, with all of that, I want to make clear that you believe the bankers. You even believe the dentists. Otherwise, you would not go to the dentist. You see, because we need natural faith in our daily life. Without this natural faith, we couldn't live. And this is very important. Otherwise, we couldn't function. Obedience is the natural outcome of belief. Now, I obeyed the dentist when I was opening my mouth there, lying down. At that stage, I hadn't a clue about the result of his surgery. I couldn't see with my eyes what the result will be, but I trusted him to make a good job, and I finally, eventually, will be able to see the results, even though at the moment I only feel bad symptoms. You see? And yet I believed. That makes me a natural believer. Now, we have learned that not seeing is no reason of not believing. If you can prove it, faith is totally unnecessary. Then it's not faith anymore. The statement seeing is believing is simply wrong. Nobody sees radiation, nobody sees radio waves, nobody sees electricity, and yet we believe it. But because we feel it, if you do the wrong thing. Now, how did the faith of that woman here in this passage start? We read, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him. It started by hearing. Isn't that amazing? Because we all know Romans 10, 17 teaches us. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Jesus was the word of God himself, because he was God in the flesh. That poor woman suffered for 12 years. Not 12 days, not 12 weeks, not 12 months, 12 long years. That woman wanted to get healed. She went everywhere. She went to every doctor in the country. She wanted to get healed. She knew every address of every doctor in Israel. And nobody could help her. And the Bible said she wasted all her money. Look at this, what it says. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. How tragic. She wasted all her money. It's all gone. And not only that, she's not even better. She's not even the same. She grew worse. How tragic is that situation? She must have depressed. She must have been depressed. But then she heard of a man going round the country. And she heard that when he prays, people get healed. Wow, that is amazing. Well, that woman straight away made the bridge. If that man could heal others, maybe he could heal me. Yeah. Now, this is a big thing. Do you know why? Because usually we always believe, oh yes, God does big miracles here and there, in Africa and everywhere, but not here, right now. Isn't it easier to believe God does big miracles there, but not here, right now, in my body? Isn't it? It is. Now, faith grips that heart of that woman. She heard his name was Jesus. Praise God. She heard Jesus. I need to meet Jesus. Now she took all her courage, came all out of her. And her faith grew and she made herself ready. She wanted to go and only touch his clothes. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Because this is a step further than what she has heard. Now, she grew in faith, but please note that in this very moment, nothing has changed. She still feels the symptoms. She's still there, ill. She has been ill for 12 years, and she still is. Nothing has changed. But praise God, her faith changed. Oh, yeah. Faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. And Jemure says, very true. In other words, she lost her faith in all the doctors who couldn't help her and became a believer of Jesus. Harry Emerson Fosdick says this: fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes useless, faith makes serviceable. Most of all, fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life, while faith rejoices in its God. Praise God for that. Now, she left her home. And finally, she went. I mean, she had a lot of fights already there. She had struggles to overcome, but she left her home for this mission to look for Jesus. Yeah. And, you know, there was no mobile phone around to say, oh, where is he now? You know, it was not that easy. But she left and she went. And she could see Jesus right there away in a distance with a large crowd around him. And you know what? She thought, praise God, I saw him. But how on earth will I get through that crowd? It's impossible. There were so many people who wanted to be close to Jesus, who wanted to be healed and everything else. And I am such a little, small, weak woman. You see, when you lose blood, you are weak. And these were there, you know, strong fishermen, you know, and others, you know, and she is a small woman. Did that put her off? No! Praise God for that woman. I like that woman. She was stubborn. You know, sometimes it's good to be stubborn. You need to be stubborn to get something sometimes. And she said, I will go through that crowd. And she went. And she struggled through that crowd. She did everything she could. And she ducked down and she stepped over. I don't know, but she did everything. Maybe an elbow or so was coming into her face. And she had blue eyes. She did not care. She went on. She struggled on. I need to get through. Just a little bit left. Just a little bit left. And she went and she went. And then she stretched out her hands on the very clothes. At that moment, she could feel the power of God. I am healed. Praise God. And she wanted to go back. But a loud voice said, who touched my clothes? Ooh, you know what? The disciples thought, what a stupid question, Jesus. Why do you even ask such a thing? Can you not see? There's so many people throwing you, and you ask them, who touches me? Many people touched Jesus in that crowd. But one person touched Jesus by faith. The faith factor made the difference. Praise God for that. Note, there is another lesson here. as secret acts of sin, so secret acts of faith are known to God and are under his eyes. He can see everything. Praise God for that. It is very interesting. In verse 27, we read, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Why did she come behind him? I mean, normally you come from the front. She came behind because she had enough faith. She thought, I only need to touch his clothes and I have got the healing. Now I will throw a statement at you. Are you ready for this? That woman was the first recorded person who got healed without permission. She didn't ask Jesus for healing, but she got healed. Jesus didn't know about it at all at the beginning because he asked, who touched my clothes? Who healed her? Jesus! Wow. But that's enough to confuse us. God loves faith. You see, God honored that woman's faith. And that is amazing. After that, everybody wanted to touch Jesus. You mean you don't have to get permission? And everybody wanted to touch Jesus, I'm sure. You mean just you can just take it yourself just by touching him? This is the law of faith. And that very incident tells us so much how the power of God was actually constantly available with Jesus. And the good news is, Jesus hasn't changed. Praise God for that. There is a law of faith. You see, faith is like a wire which carries power, but it's not the power itself. It links us to the power source in heaven, who is God. Now, many people seek power through strange things and, you know, like touching relics or extra long prayers and all of that. But it's not that way. It's simply Jesus. Jesus, he is it. What is faith exactly? Everybody here this morning was quite comfortably sitting down on a chair comfortably, you know, and you did not think, well, is actually this chair going to hold me up or not? You didn't think that, did you? You just sat down. Why? You had faith in the chair. Now, if I ask you, was it your faith which held you up, or was it the chair? What do you think? I mean, if it was your faith, come to the front when everybody has gone and sit on your faith and see what happens. The faith itself cannot hold you up. Only the faith in the object you put, the object can hold you up. You put your faith in the object, but faith itself can't do anything. And so it's faith in God. Spurgeon says, untried faith is questionable faith. Is it faith at all? Now, real faith is tried out. And sometimes we need to activate that faith. We need to say yes. Like that woman, she activated that faith. I want to tell you a story. There was a pastor who had a kitten. Now, his kitten was a very small kitten, and it went up a tree, and it couldn't come down anymore. And that kitten was scared. So he tried to reach up, but it was too high. And then he had a smart idea. And he said, okay, what I'll do is I'll get my car. And he attached a rope to that branch where the kitten was sitting on and attached it to the car. And then he went brum, brum, brum a bit. And then he went back and checked if he could reach. The branches come down, but it wasn't enough. So he went back into the car. Brum, and then he went back and checked again. Just a little bit more. And I can reach the kitten. He went back into the car. And the rope snapped. The kitten flew instantly sailed through the air out of sight. The pastor was shocked. He thought, oh my goodness. And he went everywhere to look for his kitten, but he couldn't find it. And he went to every neighbor. Have you seen my kitten? No, nobody could see his kitten. He felt terrible. And then he said, okay, Lord, I place that kitten into your hands. A few days later, he went to the shops to get some groceries, and he just bumped into one of his church members, and just by accident, he glanced into her trolley, and he said, what do you buy cat food for? Because everybody knew that woman hated cats. And she said, Pastor, listen, you wouldn't believe that. My daughter asked me for a cat for many, many years, and I always said no. Now, I saw it with my own eyes. I said to her, okay, if God gives you a cat, I let you have it. My daughter went into the back garden, knelt down, and I couldn't believe it, but a kitten came flying literally out of nowhere and landed in front of my daughter, paws spread out. So I had to let her keep the cat. You know, it is so a simple faith by this little girl. You know, you don't get faith in Bible college. You don't get faith if you do a theological study. No. Faith is available for everybody. We need to activate faith in our lives. That woman, she was at home. She could have even easily said, oh, I don't feel like it. And I'm so weak. I am so tired. And if she waited for an angel, I can assure you, no angel would have turned up and carried her to Jesus. Either she did it or she didn't. And we need to activate that faith. Praise God. Now, I know probably everyone has got some issues in kind of ways in your life, either health-wise or family getting saved. We too, we have issues. And why don't we just take these issues to God, even right now in prayer, and literally stretch out to the power source in heaven, God, Almighty God, who can do everything.